Okay, quiz time. How many of you know the Ten Commandments? Please raise your hand. Is that all you know? Well, let's say them. Okay. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. I am the Lord your God. You will not use my name in vain. Keep holy. Then the big one. Number, yes, four, five. Thou shalt not kill or murder. And then, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not. And then, of course, thou shalt not. Okay. Now, let's try the Beatitudes. How many of you have memorized the Beatitudes? One, two. Why is it that only three of you raised your hand for memorizing the Beatitudes, but well over 30 to 40 of you remember the Ten Commandments? Why? And this is an important question. A very important question. Because Matthew, as a Jew, is writing, and did you hear when Jesus went up the mountain? Clue? Who else went up the mountain? Moses. He came down and he sat down and he taught them. Moses came down and gave them the Ten Commandments. And then he gave them these eight. And if you noticed, I actually cheated because I removed the last stanza from what was in the book. Because all scripture scholars said when Matthew wrote the gospel, the oral tradition would have been just the first eight stanzas. So I'm trying to give you a little education in scripture scholarship. Okay, we want to give you something that was added by a monk later on, you know. Not to say anything against monks, by the way. Not to say anything. But let's take a look at them. First of all, it starts with the word blessed. Now, blessed is interpreted in many different ways. One scripture scholar said, how happy one is a good translation of blessed. Now, about 15 years ago, the youth would have given us another word, how awesome it is. So, put it in that context. That's the idea. How fulfilled, how really kind of, you're really together in well-being, kind of a sense. How wonderful it is if you're poor in spirit, if you're not a know-it-all, that you're open and realize that you need wisdom, understanding to come, and that there is a God in and through others, through the kingdom coming to you, that you're open. You know you don't know it all. Wow. How happy is that person, you know? Then how happy is the person who mourns, who feels others' pain, who is compassionate? Boy, those people really will be fulfilled because they will gather friends all the time. Don't we really need someone when we're hurting? The person who mourns will be there for you. Wow, wow. Blessed are the meek. Here we go, humble, huh? What's a humble person? And again, that's an important word for you to work with. Humble can be used many different ways. But humble is, I think, a person who, first of all, accepts themselves as they are to a degree, but is so thankful and realizes that many gifts will come to them. They don't have to have it all. In other words, a humble person is open again. It's similar to poor in spirit. Hunger and thirst for what is right. I guess years ago when we were kids in grade school, do you want to become a saint? That's the way to put it. Do you really want to become the best Christian you can possibly become? A person who really hungers and thirsts for what is the right, always to do the right thing. And there was a book written some years ago by Lachlan Sofield and Don Kuhn, who worked for AT&T, and one was a brother psychologist. And they went into business, and they asked, people were extremely successful leaders. And basically, that was one of the things, that the person in charge actually wanted to do the right thing. Interesting, huh? So how happy, how awesome the person who is hunger and thirst. And then, of course, mercy. I mean, justice is a good thing, but the person who then can let go and out of love just say, you've got another chance. How happy is that person who doesn't hold on to grudges, holds on to remembering and using it for ammunition the next time? Huh? Are we getting an insight of Jesus' wisdom here? And of course, then we have the pure of heart. How awesome is the person who is and acts as he is or she is and was transparent. They'll always tell you, and there won't be any shenanigans. They won't be trying to manipulate. They're there just for you to be and enjoy and to be true. And when they make mistakes, they're the ones who can say, I made a mistake. They're the ones who say, isn't it great? In other words, the person who is transparent. And then, of course, we have the people who are peacemakers. When there's conflict, they're the ones who want to bring around some way of either managing it or actually resolving it. They're the persons who say, come on now, folks. Let's get back to where we're in common. And we need a lot of peacemakers today. We need someone. But how awesome is that person when you know that if that person is around, you're going to be a hell of a lot more civil with each other. You know, you're going to be able to actually deal even with people you don't like, because they somehow buffer the whole situation. But then the last one. If you, and I don't think Jesus said it quite this way, but I am, if you do the first seven, you ain't going to please people. You're going to be persecuted. But that in itself is a gift. There was a founder of the religious community that Brother Paul belongs to in the back, whose founder said, the sign of contradiction. You know you're doing right if even good Christian people oppose you. Isn't that interesting? Well, I'm reading a book, and he says something that's really significant. He says, Pope Francis was one of the first popes who has had almost global appreciation, and because of his understanding, yet he has gotten more conflict from within the church against him. So isn't that fascinating? If you do these things the way Jesus wants us to, don't expect it's going to be an easy road, because even the people that we're sitting with may take offense. I don't know why. Well, my question to you is what I began with. Why do we like the Ten Commandments so much better than these commands of Jesus of Nazareth, which really were the replacement for the Ten Commandments? I ask you, the people of God, why?